Welcome to Dating Talk with Keely.
Hi.
Hi.
Welcome to Dating Talk with Keely.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Oh my gosh, of course. Why don't you tell the listeners your name, your age, and how you identify?
I am, my name, Clarissa. I'm 34. I identify as a demisexual, which is so depressing, kind of. And did you say anything about pronouns?
No, but you can say your pronouns for sure.
Okay, then she, her pronouns.
Awesome. How are you doing during this quarantine and everything?
It's such a mixed bag because it's like I'm bored, but then like, because I am limiting where I go. People in the state aren't. They're like going to the bar and wanting to do brunch. And I'm like, we didn't shut down like New York did. So we kind of can't or shouldn't do that. But I've also been like really creative and also have been cleaning a lot. So it's like a mixed bag of good and bad and bad and good.
Yeah, for sure. And just tell the listeners where you live.
I live in Texas. I live a little bit outside of
okay,
Dallas.
Okay, nice. Yeah, because like New York shut down, so I just started going out a little bit, like, you know, outdoor restaurant situation, you know, with like one or two people, and even that feels like strange.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my friend lives in New York too, and she's like, we're going to try to go to a restaurant. Hopefully we can eat outside, but she's still like very apprehensive about it.
Yeah. So I'm fine as long as it's outdoor and it's not like a large group, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, even pre-quarantine, I don't like large groups, but after I'm just like, no, like three people, too much. It's too much.
Yeah. I totally feel you. So did you grow up in Texas?
I did. I sound so disappointed. Yeah. No, I did. In Texas, I am not a Texas girl, if that makes sense. Like, the first time I rode a horse was in San Diego. So, like, none of this stereotypical Texas stuff about me. But then I go to New York or California, and I say y'all once, and they're like, oh, yep, she's from the South. And I'm like, really? Okay. All right.
I feel like I say y'all quite often as well, and I literally have never lived in the South.
See, I feel like y'all is becoming more universal than it was back then.
Yeah.
So, but I also address people by like ma'am and sir, which didn't realize was super problematic for other reasons. But when I went to go visit, she was repeating my order. I was at the Starbucks there. She repeated my order and I said, yes, ma'am. And she would like kind of looked at me and I was like, she's like, you're not from here, are you? And I was like, no. But it's just like, it's not even a thing that I think about doing. It's not about somebody being older or younger. It's just like what I say. I don't know.
Yeah, that's nice. Yeah, I think it's like an old school thing that's like on its way out. But I also don't think like, you know, that as long as you're not like misgendering somebody I don't think people like care that much, you know?
Right. Well, and that's the thing that's become problematic. Kind of like, it's like I'm saying yes, ma'am, and yes, like yes, sir, not to be rude. It's actually to be nice. But it's like you can't look at someone and tell if they're... It's a lot. And I'm just like, I'm just trying to be a good person.
Yeah.
Like, if you correct me, totally fine. Like, that's fine. But, like, I swear I'm not saying it to be rude. I'm not. Because I wouldn't do that.
But, right. Yeah. What were your parents like growing up?
My mom was very protective because... So, like, my mom's a single parent, and I'm an only child. So, she was very protective for, I think, a lot of reasons, just that you don't want to be the single parent. But there's always this kind of like stereotype that single parents are going to have teenage daughters that end up being, you know, high school dropouts and all this other random stuff that's terrible and not true. So my mom was also kind of tough, kind of protective to make sure that my life didn't go that way. And then my father was absent. So, you know, I don't know.
Okay. Gotcha. I often find the opposite, though, that a lot of people I know that grew up with a single parent actually like worked really hard to then support that or not even support that single parent, but like just like almost like be so thankful that they like worked really hard to like, I don't know, how do I say it? Like make them proud or take care of them or, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and it's definitely, I think it was definitely both, like, with her being protective, but I also wanted her to be, like, I wanted her to be, like, proud of me, and because she had to fill both roles of, you know, to be two parents with as one person. So I didn't want that to go in vain. But I was also a very, like, scary kid. Like, I was afraid of getting in trouble, so I would just not get in trouble, at least, I mean, for the most part. There's a whole thing in sixth grade, but that was more of a, which started the kind of traumatic events of my life. And I go back a little bit. I say the father was absent. He like weaved in and out, came in to do like the most traumatic stuff in sixth grade. And then like he peaced out, you know? Okay. So yeah. So, I mean, basically absent. I don't have any memories of him except for like one event.
Okay.
So like, I'm like,
Right, you right. Know. And then, so what do you do for a living?
So I am a digital designer for a retail company as like my 9-to-5. And then I am a digital content creator outside of for 512 Studio, which just made that switch like Friday.
I saw that.
Yeah. I've been wanting to kind of move in that direction, but I didn't know how, because I was just like, what am I going to do? And like, how am I going to do this? Because I don't like the term. I feel like lifestyle blogger or like influencer has a very weird, almost negative connotation, just because you see these YouTube, TikTok, you know, people, or like people who want to be the Kardashians, not insulting them, but just, you know, they want to imitate them so badly.
Mm-hmm.
And they think like, people think that's what an influencer is. And I'm like, no, that's not me, but I don't know how to say, it's like, just watch my stuff over time. Like, it's not me, but you know, my friend helped me, kind of coin how I can describe myself. So I don't have to say influencer, because it's still, it's just really, it's weird to me. I'm like, I'm more like, you can get this if you want to, like, that's fine.
Yeah, yeah.
I was a terrible salesperson. I was not someone that would force you to buy anything. So I didn't work for as long.
Yeah. No, I'm kind of, I'm kind of like that too. Like, I couldn't like work in retail or wherever. Like, I just feel like I'm not a seller.
Yeah, yeah, because I don't like pressuring people to do things. I'm like, that's cool. You have to sign up for a credit card. That's fine. And like, the store's like, we need you to get 10. And I'm like, I mean, people want to save their credit, you know? Like, we don't want to push people to ruin their credit. That's terrible. Like,
right.
So. I'm not the best one, but it's not me.
Yeah. So you also have a podcast, and it's 512 Studio, correct?
It's 512 FM.
That's what I meant.
Yeah, no, you're good. You're good. And it kind of took a hiatus. It started off with me talking about branding things, because that's what 512 Studio started off as. It was like a branding and design agency. And then when I started doing 9-to-5, like working 9-to-5 as a designer, I'm like, the last thing I want to do is use my free time to design. So we're going to just not do that anymore. Plus, I've been doing it for 10 years. So it just gets, I needed like another type of outlet. But then season 2 started, and it started on Juneteenth, right at like the height of everything going, the social uprise, if you will. after like George Floyd.
George Floyd and Black Lives Matter.
Yeah, I really kicked in. So I started season two and it really focused on like how to be an ally and all this other stuff. Then it just, I got drained because if it wasn't one thing, it was another. And I'm like, I can't do this. So I took a pause and now I'm prepping. And that's not going to launch until like 2021.
Okay.
Because I just, with working in retail, holiday season as a creative, I'm just like, oh God, this is going to be a lot.
Yeah.
And I'd rather just work on like my blogging content and then go forward with that.
Well, I loved the episode on cancel culture.
Thank you.
I also loved, like, you know, when you talked about like Black Lives Matter and how to be a good ally and stuff like that. I listened to both of those. But the cancel culture one made me laugh too because you had mentioned Vanderpump Rules. Like, I was like, oh my God, yes. Like,
well, like,
it's takedown.
I was like, I have to throw this in there because I think it was really fresh. That week that I'd recorded it too, it was so much about cancel culture, you know, that was fresh. Oh, I know what started it though. It wasn't Vanderpump Rules. It was the fact that Hulu took off the episode of Golden Girls where Rose and Blanche walked in the living room while Dorothy was meeting her sons, and the fiance was Black, and her, you know, her family was in there too, and they come in with like a mud mask. And so it looks like they're doing blackface, but it's obviously not them performing blackface. And they both are like, this is just a mask. Like it's acknowledged, it's funny, and then they move on. And then during that time of everyone being hypersensitive, they were like, we're going to pull this episode. And we're like, no, that's not, no, that wasn't even racist. What are you doing?
Okay.
Yeah. So that's what started it, which is why the cover of that is the girl in the mud mask.
Got it.
To that story. But yeah, then the whole thing with like Stassi and Kristen, and I forget about those other two guys. Those ones.
Oh, from Vanderpump Rules?
Yeah.
Max and something. But no, it's funny. So also, just so listeners know, me and Clarissa are moderators in like a Vanderpump Rules Facebook group, and that's how we met.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just fun to hear because like we had already been texting about, you know, the firings and, you know, all of Stassi's like racist comments and all these things anyway. So then it was cool to like listen to your podcast and then hear you talk about it as well.
It's like a guilt that I think everyone has like watching the show but like no one talked about outside of like the group, you know. Mm-hmm. And then I was on my on my Facebook feed and more people were posting about it than I thought, and I was like, wait a second, we could have been having this conversation, but I just had to limit it to the group. I mean, that's fine, it's fine because it's full of lols, but like, okay. Yeah, that was, I remember that day happening, like that.
Yeah.
That's crazy. And yet Jax is still on the show.
Oh my God, I know. For real.
I'm like, you've done like the worst of the worst. And I get it. Everybody needs a villain. But like, from my understanding, I'm gonna like go way back in time. With The Hills, Spencer was terrible. Don't get me wrong. I think spreading a sex tape about somebody is terrible. I think shaming anybody for having a sex tape is terrible. Cause like, do you, boo, you know? But like,
yeah.
At the same time, it's like, I was like, he was awful to Lauren. I'm fully acknowledging that. But it's like, he was a villain, but he wasn't making like homophobic, from what I remember. He didn't do anything outside of that was like homophobic or racist. Like it was like, what he did to Lauren was wrong, and he was a villain for that, obviously. Does that make sense? Like, I feel like Jax was just attacking everybody. It's like, if you said that you liked pepper on your eggs instead of just salt, he was like, well, F you, blah, blah, blah. My dad likes salt on my edge, you know? And it's just like, sir. Oh,
absolutely.
Sir. And then it, like, gets into, like, you're fat. And, like, you're secretly gay. And I was like, first of all, being gay isn't an insult. So let's get out of the 90s. Being gay isn't an insult. Like,
he's, like, so are. Just, like, toxic masculinity at its fucking finest.
And he's going to be a father. What?
Oh, yeah.
You're like, Britney's pregnant.
Oh, God. I can't.
I'm like, luckily it's not a boy. But then, I mean, luckily it's not a girl. And I'm like, but it's going to be a boy.
And it'll be exactly like him. And it, honestly, it would be better if he had a girl.
Almost.
Oh, who knows?
Like.
Also, like, gender doesn't really matter anyway. Who knows?
Right. In terms of, like, the sex. But, like, I also know that I feel like, I mean, I know Ariana doesn't want to have a kid, but if Ariana and Tom had a child, they would just be like a genderless child, which I think is a beautiful thing. But I feel like Britney and Jax are going to push those gender roles on the baby.
Like, oh, absolutely.
Way before it gets out the womb if they're not doing it now. So it's like, ugh, God. Yeah. Oh, God.
I know. I can't. Okay, so we're going to get into some, like, relationship dating stuff. But, yeah, I wanted to get into some dating and relationship stuff. So when was your last real relationship?
So this is a fun story.
Great.
So I've actually never had a real, real relationship. Like, where on Facebook, you would change it to in a relationship, and then you would have to change it back to single.
Uh-huh.
So I know, and everyone's like, wow, you're 34 and you've never been in a relationship. No, I haven't. So
that's fine with me.
But here's a little, like, backstory. I feel the need to explain myself.
Yeah.
So 30, okay. So it's a trifold. It's multifolded, if you will. One, again, I've always been scared to date when I was in high school, because my mom would be like, you go to school, you do your activities, you come home, do your homework, you know, don't worry about dating until you get to college. Cool beans. Mm-hmm. But then also, to kind of go back and just a little tiny trigger warning, this, I'm going to mention abuse, but I'm not going to be all like crying about it because I'm in therapy. So anyway, when I was in sixth grade, basically was super shamed for my body just because of what I had on. And it led to some like physical altercation with the father because my shirt didn't go down below like my stomach, like, and by no means was I wearing like a midriff top to school, but like it didn't go like super baggy, whatever, so I had to change. And then we got into this whole thing when he took me to school, and like, and then it was a thing. So like, and it took me like going to therapy to realize like, maybe that's a reason why like I'm not confident in myself.
Mm-hmm.
So that's prevented me from being in relationships. And then just kind of the in and out that he's done. I've also kind of, guys that I've liked haven't liked me back. Like, I have this thing now, like, there's a guy that I liked. Whatever. I was like, is he going to listen to this podcast? I don't know. But anyway, so there's this guy that I liked. His name is Matt. He's not the first Matt that I've liked. And it's not the first Matt that, like, could have gone somewhere and then it just didn't go anywhere because of some BS. So I've decided from here on out that I'm not dating guys named Matt. Now, I don't know if that's limiting myself.
Maybe you'll fall in love with Matt.
But I have decided. No. There's been at least three that it just did not work out. That the universe said, you stay away from Matt.
Fair enough.
And I said, okay. We're good. If your name's Matt, we can be friends. But we are not. Listen, he might be the Patrick to, like, my David, you know, Schitt's Creek reference.
Ugh.
But, you know, I don't know. I'm willing to take the chance to miss it. Because on the apps, I swipe. I'm like, ooh, your name's Matt.
Oh, my God. That's so funny.
So serious. Oh, can't bear it. Ooh.
Wait, yeah. Was one of these Matts the guy that made you a mixtape?
No. And we won't say his name because he's married and stuff like okay. that. But like, and I want to be respectful of that. But no.
Okay, got it. Just checking.
That's the other thing. Like, I'm still going to put this as an I don't know. I'm still going to say I don't know because I don't like putting words and feelings into other people's mouths. And like, nope, it wasn't that way. However, if that was the case at the time, you have to tell me. I'm too insecure. And in college, I was way too insecure.
Yeah, and basically, for listeners, Clarissa had messaged me and said something about a guy in college sending her a mixtape or giving her a mixtape and, like, did that mean something, and sent me song lyrics. And I'm like, absolutely. Like, no one makes someone a mixtape unless they have feelings for them or they're your best friend.
Okay, but also, tell me. You have to tell me. Like, you don't hint, because I'm going to look at this CD and go, oh, that's nice. You put some nice songs.
But honestly, but he was probably so nervous that that was his way of telling you.
And that's all well and good, but like, still, like, you could have just told me, and I would have been like, heck yes, let's do this. I'm like, I was ready to say yes, but I was like, I'm not gonna say anything. It's like those stupid teen shows where it's like the girl's waiting for the guy to say something, but he doesn't want to say it, and it's just super dramatic, and there's like a Gavin DeGraw song that plays in the background.
Yes.
Yeah.
And also, I'm thinking about I hope I don't have too young listeners, but like, if a young listener has no idea what a mixtape is,
that's sad.
Oh, Google it, whoever you are. Google it.
I mean, you can make a Spotify and send it to them, but it's not as cute.
No.
Like, it's not as cute because the CD, it just, you know, you just have the songs that you picked. Or that you may have downloaded legally or illegally. I'm not here to judge you. And, you know, you compiled it. I don't know. It's just more special because it was on a CD and it was a surprise. You know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
And then you, like, Sharpied, like, their name or hearts or something.
Oh, my God. I think he did Sharpie it, too. I don't think there were no hearts or anything, but, like, I have the CD in my car because my car's so old that it has a CD player. So... Yeah, I'm gonna take a look and see. Oh my god.
Yes, for sure. Oh man. Okay, so what's your perspective on dating like right now? Are you on the apps? Do you have a favorite app? Are you sick of dating? Are you excited about dating?
Like Sharon Stone said, she's over it, so am I. I'm over the dating apps. Because I keep getting Caspers. And these are the guys that like want to come and they hop into your messages. You have a good conversation flowing and then they just go. And you're like, did you die? Like, what happened? Like, we were having a conversation and it was going well. And I'm sorry. Like, I don't want to, like, we're not going to hook. First of all, we're in quarantine. I'm trying to avoid Corona. Like, let's keep it at that. Two, like, I'm Demi, so, like, I'm not interested in having sex with you yet because I haven't connected with you like that on an emotional level.
Oh,
so,
and just for listeners, demisexual means that you have to, that you want to have sex with somebody that you have an emotional bond with, correct?
Yes, and it's so, I know a lot of people will be like, well, duh, and I'm like, well, it's not a well, duh thing because some people will look at each other or, like, you know, they might talk to each other for like 5-10 seconds or 5-10 minutes and they're like, let's go hook up, which is completely fine and completely normal.
Yeah, that's me. That's me sometimes.
Which is like, I'm like, yes, get it, please. Like, be safe. I'm like, I feel like I'm like the mama to all of my friends that are, you know, wanting to do whatever. I'm like, just be safe. And if you need a code word to come pick me, you know, for me to come pick you up, I got you. Like, you know, if you need to take a picture of what he looks like, the license plate of the car, like, you know, I got you. Just be safe.
Yeah. Always safe.
Yeah.
And always use condoms.
Yes, please. Like, just please. They're there. Yeah. And the funny thing is, not to kind of side route from the dating app, but the funny thing is, I realized, I think when I messaged you in like September, I was like, that was when I realized I was Demi, because I was watching a video clip of someone talking about them being demisexual, and just basically like they just are not interested in having sex unless they're emotionally connected with the person. And then they were going back on like when they had crushes and what like kind of the fantasy was, I guess you will, with like their crushes. And for me, my fantasy was never to like have sex with them. It was like the cute romantic stuff where like we were talking or whatever else, but it just, I was not interested in like having sex with them. And I'm like, it was so interesting to like finally put the pieces together, because then I also thought it was like part of the trauma stuff that I went through. So I'm like, I don't know.
And you don't think that you're asexual, right?
No, because like, no.
Right.
No. Like it's the demisexual is like under the ace umbrella, because there's different aspects of it. So it's like there's some people who are just not into it at all. That's gross. Mm-hmm. Put the idea away. And then then it like goes into this whole other rabbit hole that I got lost in one day. But no, I mean it's not that I'm not interested ever. Like, because I want to have kids. I mean, we've talked about how I'm probably going to end up having a kid, and that's, you know, befriending two gay people who also want kids, and then we just work out an arrangement. Mm-hmm. But the whole hookup thing to me is like for me personally, and I want to emphasize this is how I feel about me myself doing this, it just like really freaks me out.
Okay.
Like it's like oh god. But like again, I have friends who, you know, will go on an app to find someone to hook up with because they're bored and they're horny or whatever else, and I'm like, okay, just let me know what they look like, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I got you. So I'm like, in condoms, please.
Yeah.
Just use condoms, you know. So
yeah. And so like, so you've never done anything sexually because you haven't had an emotional connection with anybody, is that correct?
Yeah. Okay. 34-year-old virgin.
Oh, I know, that's fine. It's interesting to have somebody like on that, you know, since this is such like a sex positive podcast, like we talk about sex all the time. It's nice to have, you know, somebody that has like a different experience, you know?
Yeah. Well, and for me, like I can talk about sex in a very like open, let's have a conversation about it type of way. It doesn't skeeve me out. And that took time just because I also grew up kind of religious, not as bad religious as like some people, like not a Duggar type of religious, but like,
what's that mean?
Okay. So there was a point that I was like, okay, I'm going to save myself until I'm married because I want to be pure and all this other bullshit that purity culture is. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And, because I also went to a religious university, which is, I mean, of all the universities, it's definitely not super strict or conservative. Like I was able to go on spring break, and some religious universities you're not allowed to. You have to stay on campus and go to like some Bible revival.
Oh wow!
Yeah, no, girl, no. couldn't be me. But yeah, so I was like, listen, when I was in college, I was a bit more pro-life, which is like, you knowing me now, it's like, wait, what?
Yeah, that's crazy. I was a
bit more pro-life. I was a bit more conservative, not obviously this in this Trumpian way, but it was just more like, this is right, this is wrong. If you want to be close to God, like you got to be like this. The only thing that I've always kind of wavered on was like homosexuality, just because I knew people who were really good people, and the way that the church at the time would always describe them would be like, they're horrible human beings and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, no, they're really good people that are, they just happen to be gay. And like,
mm-hmm.
So that was always something that I couldn't really fully agree with in terms of like the church. And then after I graduated, quick story, quick other side note, the church that Chip and Joanna Gaines go to, I used to go to that church from Fixer Upper.
I know exactly who they are.
Mm-hmm. And the pastor said for us to bring a gay to church so we can make them Christian. And again, that was something, like, again, I was in that at the time. I was like, kind of still like, ugh. But I heard him say that and I was like, I gotta go.
Yeah.
Like, I got up and walked out of church. I was like, I'm gonna go across the street, get a breakfast taco. We're not coming back here again. Because it just something in me, even though I wasn't as hardcore about being, you know, pro LGBTQ plus as I am now, there was something about that was just not right. And I was like, nah, we're not coming back here again. And I don't think I've gone to a church like willingly since. That was 2000, it had to be 2008.
Yeah. And it's so crazy to hear this because, like, now you post like everything about Black Lives Matter, everything about pro-choice, everything about like LGBTQ and like, you know, Black trans lives, all that. You like post all about that kind of stuff now.
It's about learning, right? So like, yeah. I have a lot of friends from, I mean, it kind of gives away what school I went to, but I have a lot of friends from the school who were closeted and they had to be closeted because they were afraid of being kicked out. And they, you know, they finally have come out within the last few years. And I remember when the U.S., when gay marriage was legal, like was determined legal in civil court, I think, or Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm.
And I was happy to see everybody with their like equal signs because that was the thing to post on Facebook. And then I remember posting something about like, it basically equaled hate the sin, not the sinner type of thing. And so I was like, this is how I justified it because I was still towing the line of being a good Christian, but like not hurting anyone's feelings. And my friend messaged me and he said, hey, I get where you're coming from. I get you're trying to be like a good person, but hate the sin, not the sinner is a really sweet way of being homophobic. And in my head, I've always thought homophobic as somebody screaming like the F word or like, you know, beating somebody up because they were gay or, you know, something that goes beyond that. And I never realized that even saying something as simple, quote unquote, simple as that was a sign of homophobia. And I was like, well, I don't want to be homophobic. So it was mm-hmm. like, I was like, that sounds terrible. And I was just like, and I was like, okay, well, you know, and I talked to him instead of arguing and being defensive. I was like, okay. And like, we had a really good conversation and he was like, well, look at it like this. Do you think that I would actively want to be like discriminated against and like fear for my life every day? If I could control it. And I was like, point made, you know? So it mm-hmm. it was like, all right, hearing that from somebody close to me and then hearing that from that perspective made a lot more sense. And in terms of trans, because the gender identity thing is new to me within the last 4 or 5 years, but just because I don't understand it doesn't mean I don't accept it. It just means I need to learn more. And right. So my, but yeah, in terms of like trans and stuff like that, it was just like, I don't understand it. But in growing up as a 90s kid, and you probably relate, there was some really problematic stuff we learned as a kid. So
oh,
it was
absolutely.
Like, so we had so much stuff to like unlearn because everybody on TV said certain things. And then we were like, you know, we just kind of said it in our, like, it's, even if we said like something was gay, it's like, whoa, like, don't say that because that's rude. Mm-hmm. That's what people said in the 90s. That's what we grew up with. And then we got faced with it. And it was either, cool, I'm not going to hurt you. You know, I don't want to be offensive. My apologies. That was done. I'll change my behavior. Or you, you know, get defensive and call people snowflakes. I don't know.
Exactly. Like, we all just have to, like, listen and learn. And, like, even through all of this, like, I thought, you know, like, I'm super, like, you know, woke or whatever, whatever you want to say. You know, I've been living in New York City for 13 years, like whatever. And through like even just the Black Lives Matter protests and everybody posting about, you know, literally everything about it, it's like I learn every single day something else that I didn't mm-hmm. know, or, you know, learn more and more about white privilege, even though I always knew I was privileged for being white. Like, you learn more about it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, it's definitely a learning process. And my mom, who's from East Texas, and anybody that knows anything about East Texas, like, super conservative, you go to church every day, like twice on Sunday. But she moved to Dallas before I was born. But even so, like, my mom, it took a little bit longer for her to unlearn, but also she's older, and also she grew up in a more conservative town. But the stuff that she would say before and the stuff that she, like, says now when we have a conversation is, like, night and day. So it's never too late to want to grow. You just have to, like, be open to wanting to grow and be accepting of, like, everything.
Yeah.
literally everything. Just keep an open mind about stuff and not be offended if someone says, hey, you know.
Yeah.
Don't say that, please.
Absolutely.
So, kind of side note. Sidebarred on that one a lot.
Oh, no. I listen, this podcast is all about sidebars. It's fine. But tell me, so if you could plan your ideal first date, what would that look like for you?
I'm so cheesy and so simple that honestly, if we could just go to dinner, so like in 15 years when COVID is no longer a thing, you know, like we could just go to dinner and like be able to talk in a corner and have a conversation and not be like super loud. I'm not that like elaborate. Like, it doesn't have to be a super fancy 5-star dinner. Please don't. I don't know which fork to eat with first, you know? Like,
same.
Be like, oh, this fork looks nice.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's kind of it. And then, like, hang out and chill. And, like, my thing is, like, I just want to get to know people. Like, I want to get to know you and, like, what you're about. So, that's my first date.
Yeah, I'm the same. Like, I just would like to, like, go to a bar. Like, if they have, like, a game at the bar, cool. If they don't, that's fine.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and, but I'm also very sensitive to sound, like how you said, like, a quiet place. Like, if it's, like, loud in there, I do tend to, like, get a little bit, like, like, we gotta go somewhere else. Like,
yeah.
On a date, like, I can't deal with, like, loud music, or if it's just, like, loud in general, I'm like, I can't.
Yeah, too many people, too much sound. It's like, this isn't a date. This is just us, like, hanging out.
Yeah, and, like, yelling to try to, like, understand.
Yeah, like, exactly.
Definitely. All right, do you want to play a quick game before we end?
Yeah.
Okay, so I wrote down some red flag or deal breakers for you.
Ooh.
So, red flag or deal breaker, they forget their wallet on a first date.
Red flag.
Same. Like, I've actually had this happen on a date.
Oh, yeah?
And the guy, I could tell it was, like, super weird because he, like, the way he said it was, like, almost like he was acting. And I was like, is this guy this broke that he can't? Like, because I was planning on paying half, like, you know, or whatever. But I wasn't planning on paying the whole thing, which I did. But I was just like, okay, can you, like, Venmo me? Thanks. Like, and he never did.
Oh, my God. At least, yeah, that's the thing. Like, if you could be nervous, and because I understand, like, with my anxiety, I can just, like, be completely forgetful of, like, the simplest things. And so, assuming that you were forgetful because you were anxious, I can be like, okay, cool. But if you don't make the commitment to Venmo me, and then, like, you don't Venmo me, like it's no.
Yeah, like, I was like, this is so weird. Like, then why did you plan a date? First of all, if you're that broke, that's fine, right? Like, I you know, whatever. I've dated people who are broke, and I've been broke, whatever.
Yeah.
But, like, don't plan the date then.
Right. Like, I'm like, we're millennials. Like, we can do something super simple. Like, I get being broke, okay? Like, yeah. I was in graduation when the whole market crashed. Like, I was in graduation when it crashed. Don't worry, boo. I get being broke. But, like,
same.
But, like, don't plan something knowing you don't have money. I'm not impressed by things. So all this whole, like, I'm going to take her out to this fancy place. And I'm like, I'm with you. Like, I was going to pay for half. I will always volunteer to pay for half.
Yeah.
You know, I'll pay for my half. And then, like, if you want to take it, then that's fine. But
yeah.
Yeah.
Who knows? Okay, red flag or deal breaker? They asked for a nude before they met you.
Deal breaker. Because I have this thing about, like, one, if I don't trust you enough to, like, I don't trust me with a nude. Like, I don't want a nude picture of myself, okay? So, like, if you're asking me for, like, that's weird. That means you're hoarding a collection. I don't want to be part of that. So, no.
Also, like, if we've never even met, like, I wouldn't send a nude either if I've never met the person. Don't get me wrong. I have a million nudes of myself and send them out. I do send them out pretty frequently. But it's always with somebody that I've already slept with.
Right. That makes sense. I'm like, but I just met, like, we just chatted online and you want a nude of me? Like, sir, no.
No.
No. Oh, man.
Oh, man. Okay, so red flag or deal breaker, they want to hike or exercise for a first date?
Neither. I mean, for a first date, it would depend.
You could also, it doesn't have to be like red flag or deal breaker. It could be like, yeah, I'll do that. That's fine.
I would do it, like, especially if it, because I feel like you would get from me that would be something I'm interested in doing. So, you know what I mean? So, like, I would hope no one would just randomly go, hey, do you want to go for a hike? Like, and I don't want to do that. Yeah, I feel like that would happen because we had a conversation. So that's fine.
Okay. For me, I wouldn't want to do that sort of exercise on a date. Like, no thanks. But it's not like a red flag or deal breaker. It's just like, nope, not going to do that.
Well, maybe this is a second date or like a day date or something. Yeah. I could.
Yeah, I can definitely. Well, also in New York City, there's nowhere to hike. So you got to, like, take a train upstate. Like, what if they want to murder you in the middle of the woods?
I'm not laughing about being murdered. I'm laughing. That's my thought about online dating in general, because I watch Web of Lies on Investigation Discovery, and there's so many cases about meeting people online and talking with them and blah, blah, blah. And then they turn up to be this person and they pick them up and then they're missing. And it's just like this whole thing. And I told my therapist that. And I was like, that's why I don't want to go on a dating app. She's like, you have to stop watching these shows. I'm like, no.
I watch all of the murder docs. ID Channel is the show.
Yes, it is. I will watch that to break away from current events. I'm like, I need to chill my mind. I'm going to watch Investigation Discovery.
Same. Wait, are you a murderino?
Yes.
Yes, girl.
But they're doing a kind of cool, like, recap where, like, they're talking about stuff like that's present, but I feel like they're going back. Too, like, they're doing back episodes or something, so, like,
they're like doing, like, a couple of, like, their lives or whatever, because they're, you know, trying to, I feel like they're both like, okay, I feel like they need a little bit of a break.
I totally understand, because they do so much and they're so big about talking about their mental health, so I can only imagine what they're going through.
And they gave us, like, so many episodes during quarantine too.
Like,
I know I didn't do this podcast at all. I was like, there's so much going on in the world. Who cares about, like, my fucking dating life? Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I think it's a catch-22, because at one point it's like, who cares? But that on the other side of it, it's like, we need a break, you know? But
Exactly.
It's one thing if you don't release it the first week something happens, like, you're generally good. I think after a few weeks you can kind of go like it, and I know a lot of people that did it, like, they went back to recording whatever episode and then they acknowledged what was going on and why they took a break or whatever the case is. So
yeah
it works out.
All right, red flag or deal breaker, your family doesn't approve of them.
Okay. So red flag, my mom can be kind of judgy.
All right. See, it would be like a deal breaker for me, but my family is pretty easygoing.
Okay, yeah. See, if you have an easygoing family, that's totally a deal breaker. But, like, red flag, because my mom can be judgy, But also, like, other parts, like, my extended family, like, I'm a black sheep in my family, so, like, I would probably date somebody with, like, tons of tattoos and everything else, and they're the sweetest person because, you know, cares for animals and woke and everything, but all they would see is, like, tattoos and stereotype them, and I'd be like, I don't care what you have to say. Like, I want a black wedding dress. Right. And I don't care what anyone has to say about it. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
They're like, it doesn't mean you're pure. And I was like, okay, that whole purity thing is because the queen, like, it's not even real. She wore a white dress because the queen wore a white dress because she was tired of wearing, she didn't want to wear yellow. So,
yeah.
Sorry.
All right. How about they over compliment you on the first date?
That's a
so like
deal breaker. That's a, I can't. Yeah. My mom will compliment me and I'll be like, stop.
Yeah, like, oh, you look really nice. Like, that's fine. But, like, the whole, like, you're beautiful, da-da-da, like, on a first date, it seems so, like, you know.
You're going to kill me. That's what.
Yeah.
I would literally text a friend and be like, this person wants to kill me. Come pick me up. I know I drove, but like, come pick me up, please.
Oh my god, I already know the answer to the next one. But red flag or deal breaker? They are a Trump supporter.
Oh god,
definitely a deal breaker.
I don't even swipe. Like, I mean, I don't even like. I don't even entertain it. Like no. on the apps. If you are like, one person said that they were center right leaning, and I was like, nope.
Oh, I'm the same way. I'm like, even moderate, which is so funny because like before Trump, right, I wouldn't care if anyone was moderate Republican. Yeah. What, like, you know what I mean? But like, just I see like Republican or moderate, I'm like, oh, they might or might not Trump. Yeah. Forget it.
No, I don't even want to go through it because I don't want to deal with their in-laws. I don't, because if the chances of me, like, I like people of, you know, all races, including white guys. And so, but the mm-hmm. thing is that you might be woke, but your family may not be woke. And so, like, so if you're a moderate, right, then it's like, are you where are you moderate? Like, where's the moderate leaning? You know, I just, I don't want to deal with it. But no, Trump supporter, Trump 2020, never Hillary. If you have all that stuff in your profile, like, it does not, get away from me. Because you're probably not smart and you pay attention to QAnon. And I can't. I cannot. Speaking of QAnon, apparently JFK Jr. is supposed to rise from the dead. And he's supposed to, or come out from hiding, and announce that he's going to be Trump's running mate.
Okay, yeah. Well,
they have,
I see
they
it, guys.
Have t-shirts.
No way.
They're t-shirts.
I didn't know about this.
And I was like, I'm sorry, what? Like, I remember seeing the plane like, not the actual plane crashing, but, like, I remember seeing the, like, what happened at the crash site of JFK Jr. and his wife, and he gone. Like, I don't know what else to to both of them. I'm like, he didn't get away. Like, he's gone.
That's crazy. That's insane.
I was like, y'all just be making up anything as if Google doesn't exist. I don't. Google it's live 24 hours a day, I promise. Like,
oh my gosh. Oh, okay, red flag or deal breaker? They don't like animals.
Oh, that's a deal breaker because I have a pet rabbit and you gonna like him.
Bye.
My little Bunzy, who is sleeping in his litter box right now.
Oh my god, Tuna's on my lap right now, which has been kind of annoying because I have my notebook there too.
It doesn't matter. If the animal wants to be on your lap, it will be on your lap.
Seriously. Red flag or deal breaker, they don't want children.
Man, deal breaker, because I do want a child. I just don't know how that's going to happen.
Right. Yeah. Well, there's plenty of ways these days, so.
Yeah, but I do want a child. So, okay. Yeah, that's a deal breaker.
You could just do it on your own.
I'm telling you.
Sperm donor.
I just need, like, a really, like, I just need a attractive gay couple that also wants to have kids. We will figure this out. The child will have two dads and one mom.
What about a sperm donor?
But I kind of want to, like, I want the child to know their father. And, like, I kind of want them to know the father and, like, grow up with them. Plus, I feel like if I work with a gay couple, then they don't have to worry about being discriminated against, you know, from adoption agencies, because that's okay to do right now. Not to get political about it, but since we've been missing.
Right.
So, yeah.
Right. All right. Red flag or deal breaker? They live with their parents.
Ooh. It's mini red flag because we're millennials. And
I agree.
And we're also, I mean, right now we're in a pandemic. We don't know why you're living with your parents. Are you living at home to help them?
Exactly.
Are you living at home to save money for a house? You know? So mm-hmm. if you're ambitious and you're working, but like, oh, I want to save money to pay off my debt. That's cool. I appreciate that. That's fine. Yeah. If you're just like living at your parents and not doing anything, then yeah. We cannot.
Okay, last one. I think you might actually prefer this, if I'm thinking right. They want to talk on the phone a lot before the date.
I like that. Because it's like...
Yeah, I figured you might. I do not love that.
It's. I know it's 50-50 for a lot of people, but I think, yeah.
Yeah. My roommate likes that too, and I'm like, mm-mm.
At least text. I'm more of a big texter than I am, like, talking on the phone, but, like, we can do both. We can do both. Yeah.
Okay. Nice. Well, I think that's the end. Thank you so much
for letting me be on your show. By the way, this is like the first time I've publicly on a platform said that I was demisexual, because it's literally a month old, maybe. Ooh. I know. Like, I tried to tell my mom, by the way, and she was like, it just means you don't like sleeping around. And I was like, no, that's not what that means. I was like, that's not.
That just means you're not like Keely.
No.
I'm just kidding.
I was like, no, it doesn't mean no. It's normal for people to want to like hook up with people when they first see each other. It's fine, like it's cool. I'm just saying. And mom was like, is there anything else that like you want to tell me? And I was like, no. And she's like, nothing else, because I think she thought I was gonna say like that I was like gay or bisexual or whatever. And I was like, no. No, which by the way, like I've thought about it, because I was like, why don't I, you know? So I'm like, maybe I am suppressing my own homophobia, and so I need to like really just let go of it and try. And I'm like, no, unfortunately, like it's not a nope in that like I don't like, it's just like, no, I'm just not attracted to women or people outside of like a certain gender, which is unfortunate. Because men nowadays, oh God. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, they're rough. It's hard. Listen, I've been single for 8 years now. So, I haven't been in a real relationship in, eight years.
It's literally the men's fault. Like, it's not our fault. It's not.
I'll agree with that any day.
It's just not. So. There's that. We don't have to fix anything. It's them.
Okay, so do you have any last piece of advice? And do you want to plug anything?
Advice? Wear a mask. Because just because we're bored doesn't mean we're not in the middle of a pandemic. And that's really it. I don't have any, like, love advice. But my advice really is just everybody wear a mask. Because COVID is still here and she's not going anywhere. But my
absolutely
my pluggables, 512, so the word 5, the number 12, and studio on all social media handles, because where they can find you, they can pay you. And then 512studio.com mm-hmm. is the website. I'm most active on Instagram. Yeah. I'm more active on my Instagram. All right. So
all right. I love
Thank
it. Thank you.
You
so much. All right.
Bye.